Hey, welcome to today's episode of the High With Us podcast. I have a special guest, Miss Eileen Prack, who is a multifamily investor, a podcast host, who had me on her podcast, which is why she's here. We're going to hear her story because she heard mine. So we're going to, I love retreating and sharing experiences with other podcast hosts because podcast hosts are dope. So, hey, you're not on camera yet. No.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you for having me.
Podcast hosts are dope because it's always different. It's always a different experience that I have as a host because I'm interviewing another host. So we get a different type of conversation. Whereas if I interview a person that's always a guest, you get a different type of conversation. So it's always entertaining to have on hosts.
This show is sponsored by HiveMind CRM. It is more than just a CRM. It is a real estate and business mastermind that comes with an all-in-one CRM. You can have unlimited websites and users. You can call, text, RVM, and email all-in-one user interface. And you can set up custom automations for any type and multiple businesses. 65% of companies start using a CRM system within the first 5 years of business. Once implemented, the HiveMind will save you on marketing, give you more time, and make more money. One of our users had his first $100,000 month using our system in June. We want to see you automate and accelerate your business. Text us at 210-972-1842 for future meetings and, of course, to get our $1 course on how to make more than six figures on one land deal. You can schedule your free demo today at hivemindcrm.io.
So, Eileen, what part of the country are you from? As always, my first question I like asking, and I guess I'll let you answer that one.
So I'm out in California, outside of Los Angeles. So people know like the Orange County area. People think mostly of Disneyland. So I'm pretty close by to there.
I actually live in Temecula. I'm not too far away.
Oh, you did? Yeah, that's only about like an hour and a half or so away from me.
Yeah, I'm going golfing in Ontario tomorrow.
Oh, so. Nice. Oh, wait, you live in Temecula right now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You are very close then.
See, this is why I asked that question, because I don't know if we'll ever cross the street sometime, and I have to keep an eye out for you if I cross you at a meetup or something.
Oh, yes.
See.
My cousin lives in Temecula also, so, I mean, we go visit sometimes. Maybe we'll grab a coffee or something.
This is why I ask. Because you didn't ask me, so I didn't know. So I had to ask you. See, this is why we do this. So let's talk about how long you've been in real estate, and how'd you get started?
So we wanted to get into real estate back in 2014 when we were actually looking for our own personal property. What we wanted to do was some type of house hacking where we bought a duplex and rented out one side and then live in the other side. But as you know, in California, we were getting outbid left and right. There was so much competition out there. People were doing like cash offers and bidding way, way above asking price. And so it just never worked out for us in the end. And so then we didn't get back into real estate until 2019, when we decided to look outside of California and invest in single family turnkey properties. And that was actually really interesting too, because we were looking for something that was a little bit more passive, working with different property managers, and really getting our feet wet with investing outside of California, because we never really had that experience before, because all we knew was invest in your backyard. And so that was a really great experience for us. But what we realized was that we didn't see the scalability of it there. And when we worked backwards of what we were trying to achieve, you know, we had to close quite a number of single family doors to be able to get to a certain level that we were looking for. Yeah. So the economies of scales were a little bit not quite there for us. We liked the space, but the other part of it was if you had one tenant leave, you were 100% unoccupied. And so it left us, you know, kind of a little bit nervous about expanding and growing that. So we ended up converting and talking to other people and found multifamily syndications. And so by the end of 2019, early 2020s, we decided to, you know, educate ourselves, learn about it, and then start investing in multifamily syndications as a passive investor. And then we've been in that space ever since.
Okay. One of the questions I always like asking is, did you buy a course or a mentorship?
When we got into multifamily or... So in the beginning, we learned on our own. We read a ton of books, listened to a bunch of podcasts, And then towards the middle of 2020, when we decided to start our podcast and really get serious and maybe potentially go on the more active side of things, we got a mentor, we got a coach, and then from there, joined multiple masterminds, other coaching programs since then, because for us, it was important for us to get that foundation, that educational background, and then expedite our learning and knowledge before we actually get into the active side of things.
I always like bringing that up because I came from a course, and a lot of people listening, like most people from the outside looking in, like, oh, course mentorships are a scam and you shouldn't have to pay for that. But it's always, and you said it right in the head, it's a exercise to learn the active way to invest from active people that are actually in the business, and you shortcut a lot of headaches.
Yeah, it really does. And if you really align yourself with a coach that has already done it, you know, you can cut decades into, you know, much a shorter period of times and minimize a lot of the mistakes and potential pitfalls as you get into the space, especially as a newcomer.
So who's the coach? Can we give a shout out to the coach and mentor?
Yep. It was Joe Fairless. And so he's fantastic. He does a ton of things in multifamily syndications.
Awesome. I always like giving credit where credit's due, because a lot of people, you don't know the impact that just by you shouting out your coach and like, oh, somebody might come down the line in 5 years from now, like, I heard Eileen mention you. It's such a cool experience. And then there's a tree and branch that passes down to people that might come through the path as well. So it's always cool. I like giving that nod to the, oops, I hit something. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. I see I hit my hand on the keyboard and started doing stuff. So what states are you actively investing in now? Because out of state is definitely a fear that a lot of people have, especially people from California and people that live in other markets, where California is a very hard market to buy stuff in general, but in other markets, very, very easy. So what markets are you investing in now, and where are you looking for properties?
Yeah, so we're invested in Las Vegas, Texas, and North Carolina are where we primarily focus our active investments in. So we like the Sun Belts, places that have growth in their diverse economy, diverse employment, population growth. And so those are the types of places that we like to invest in.
So I want to see how fast you're, like, there's no wrong answer to this, but like, you started 2 years, it's almost 3 years now. What have you acquired since then in those states, and what's your goal this year?
So we started off as passive investors. So as a passive investor, we have now been invested in about 13 deals passively. And then on the active side, we're about six deals in, and we have three deals under contract now that we're working on.
Were you LPs?
LPs on 13, and then six, going to be nine on the GP side.
Awesome. I think syndication it's a cool way to like get into the business without actually, you put your money, and this is where, like, if you want to learn anything, and I'm kind of jumping around here, but if you want to learn anything, put your money into it. You'll learn very, very fast how to do certain things once you put your money where your mouth is, and you actually experience different experiences. So I think LP is a great option for people that want to get into that space. And it's one of those things where, like, you put your money into the deal. So they're going to, whoever the GP is and other partners are, they're going to lay out the deal, how it worked, how they acquired the deal. They're going to teach you all that stuff that you might not know, but you'll learn.
Yeah. And really getting started as a passive investor was critical for us because it was a proof of concept. We could test it out with our own finances first before working with other people and bringing in other investors instead alongside with us. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it was like nobody else had heard about syndications, nobody in our network. And so we were really the first ones who are actually actively looking to it, trying it out, testing out the waters. And it's been a fantastic place for us.
Oh, that's good. You always got to test out the waters. Now, are you a full-time investor now, or is that you do something else on the side? Besides the podcast, which we'll jump into in a second.
Yep. So do the podcast, but I'm also still working my full-time W-2.
Awesome. So I don't knock W-2s. It makes you a better investor in some cases when you're doing stuff like this because you have W-2 income. For us entrepreneurs, it's a lot harder to do certain things.
Well, It is, but then at the same time, it's great because with the real estate space and syndications and what we're doing, we were able to build up a really strong team and build up the really strong relationships. So our team members and our partners who are, you know, in those specific markets, you know, we can really heavily rely on them and then work together closely. And so we've been fortunate enough to, you know, have that option of choosing to work with the people we want to work with in real estate.
Yeah, the team is very, very important. Very, very important. We're on the active side, but we've built our team pretty significantly now where we're doing significant things, but the team is very, very important. Where we didn't have that for starting, kind of grow slowly and painfully, but the team is very, very important, 100%. So for all the team listening, we appreciate you, whether hers or mine. We appreciate you. You make things possible. So now this kind of paints a different picture for me because I didn't expect to go this direction. So you have a W-2, you invest in real estate, and you're a full-time podcaster because you are not doing it part-time.
Yes, I have a 5-day-a-week podcast.
You are not doing it part-time. And for everybody here, podcasting is not – it's very fun, but it can be very – draining in its own right, because talking to people can be draining. Not that all conversations are draining, but they take a toll on you, good and bad ways. So full-time podcaster, and you started, when did you start your podcast? You
said 20. Started back in 2020. Yes,
2020. So 3 years. So were you always on a 5-day schedule, or did you recently pick that up?
So we started with a 7-day-a-week schedule, but when I looked at the feasibility of it and wanting to keep it and maintain it long term, the 5-day-a-week schedule worked better for us. And so I decided to convert from the 7-day into a 5-day-a-week podcast probably within like 3 months or so.
I think now that you say that, I probably need to do the same thing, because what I've been doing is I've been doing 7 days and then I took like a month off. So I'm like, maybe a 5-day schedule is what I need. It's the middle ground.
Consistency.
I do this a lot and it's fun, but I like my breaks whenever I get them, because it's busy sometimes, and managing your schedule, personal life and business life, and doing this is crazy sometimes.
Absolutely, but we gotta love what we do. We're fortunate enough to be able to do this, so
it's very, very true. Very, very true. The podcasting is a benefit. Can you name the biggest benefit you got from podcasting? Because I get different answers, but I want to hear yours.
For me, 100%, it's the networking and the relationships building. So without the podcast, we wouldn't have been able to find the deals, find the partners, build out our network the way we have, and so quickly in the last, you know, couple of years without the podcast. And so we've been able to network with, you know, 5-10 people per week. You get an intimate 30 an hour conversation with them, and then you get to figure out like, oh, is this person somebody that I can work with potentially in the future? And then you start building a relationship with them from there on out. So that's how we've been able to, you know, grow our business.
It's like super networking.
Yes. Yes.
Super networking, and it's entertainment.
It is. It's so much fun. You get to hear so many different stories. And also for me, I get so motivated when I hear people's stories and how they've been able to, you know, people who've lost it all in 2008, 2009 have built up themselves up to this crazy level nowadays. And it's like, how did you do all of that? And then just be inspired by their stories and what they've been able to achieve in that amount of time. It's incredible.
For everybody here, we're both young investors, so we only can hear that through proxy.
Relatively.
No, you've been in it since 2019.
Yes.
I started 20, for me it's 5 years, 2017. So I haven't.
Yes, we're still infants. We're still infant stage.
We're going through our first recession. Yay. But it's one of those things where like we're very young investors, and this is where like it's always wiser to talk to people that have been down the path and been through up and down cycles, just because they're very insightful to what could and can happen in a up or down market. So for everybody, I mean, we've seen up since we started, technically. It was always up, 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 and now we're seeing it kind of level out and maybe down, depending on who you ask. But it's a very interesting perspective. From when I've been an investor, it's always been trending up. And I was like, man, this is crazy. This is nice. And then everything went kind of sideways a little bit. But it's a different perspective. And like, if you talk to people that have been in the space for a while, those 2008, 2010 investors, like they give you a lot of perspective. And that's what I like about podcasting. They give you a lot of perspective.
Yep.
And you can, and if you build a relationship with them, you can ask them certain things like, hey, what happened here when you did this back then? Mm-hmm. And it helps you prevent making mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is priceless, because you can't put a price on time saved and money saved and experiences that you don't have to experience. Because those could be painful and time consuming in their own right. I think I had a podcast guest recently, and he said he lost like over $1 million on one deal, and it was very, very painful. He learned a lot of lessons, but I didn't have to go through them. I just heard it. And I'm like, thank you, sir. I appreciate your struggle.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Thank you for your sacrifice. Exactly. And I think it's a huge benefit with podcasting and talking to people that have a lot more experience than you, finding a mentor. Mm-hmm. All that stuff lays out into the grander scheme of things as you as a real estate investor to get you to the next step, which is important. Very, very important. So have you always been outgoing?
Always been outgoing?
Are you always?
Do I seem outgoing?
So this is, I like asking this question because most podcasters I talk to are introverts.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, actually, yes. Well, I would say I'm pretty introverted also for the most part, like before starting the podcast, never did social media, didn't really get out too much. And so it was actually one of our mentors and who had actually pushed us to help to start the podcast. And so, really? And get us out of, yeah, our coach. Yeah. When we first started, to help us get out of our mindset and challenge us, because at the same time I think about it, it's like, oh, well, you don't want to look back and think about, well, what if I started the podcast and, you know, what could have happened if I decided not to start the podcast, you know, and then looking back at it, I didn't want to have regrets. And so I really had to step outside of my comfort zone to get on a microphone, reach out to guests and ask them to be a guest on my podcast, getting over that fear of the imposter syndrome. Like, why does somebody who has so much experience want to come onto my show and share and talk to me, you know? So all of that was really, really stressful in the very beginning, and I had to overcome a lot of those challenges.
I will give your mentor a giant pat on the back virtually, because I tell a lot of people to start a podcast, and it by him telling you that, does he have his own podcast?
Yeah, he has one of the longest running daily real estate podcasts running.
That's good. And man, every time I talk to podcasters, I tell people all the time, like, please go start a podcast. You'll be surprised of the benefits you'll receive just by starting and being consistent. So I commend your mentor for telling you that. And for everybody listening, go start a podcast. I'm telling you, it is very beneficial to your knowledge base, beneficial to your real estate career, very beneficial to you in general as a whole. I can't fathom the benefits. I can't fathom the not benefits you receive by not doing it. You know, like every time I think about this, I'm like, this is probably one of the best businesses I do, and I've grown to love it. And it has really put me on a trajectory I would never been on if I didn't start it. And I think it's the same for you, hearing your story too. It puts you on a trajectory that you would never even thought you could be on because you started a podcast.
Absolutely. And especially, you know, coming into the multifamily syndication space with not a lot of experience prior, other than investing passively in other people's deals, by starting a podcast and inviting these experts onto your show, you become a thought leadership, and you have this platform for people to come and share their expertise and share their story. So at the same time, you're also providing value to your guests to come on and share their stories and spread the word for what they're trying to teach and to educate other people on too. And so it's not just you getting value, but you're also adding value to other people. And just talking to people and what we talked about earlier about, you know, learning from their experiences, it's, you know, an experience that I wouldn't trade.
Yeah. So do you have a goal for the podcast? Is there like a certain, you're trying to hit like 1,000 episodes in 3 years, or is there any type of goal at all? Or is it just kind of like, I'm going to do this consistently till something happens, and I don't know when that happens, I'll find out.
I think it's just the consistency part of it. There's not really a big goal or a milestone that I'm looking to hit with the podcast, but it's just, you know, how do I consistently show up? How do I consistently continue networking with people, grow my education base, sharing with other people, at the same time growing my network? And so it's just now it's just part of me and who I am now. So it's like, oh, if I give up the podcast, it's kind of like a part of me now. I've been doing it for, you know, three years. So yeah.
What will I do if I don't do this?
Yes.
I have the same answer too. I'm like, I don't know. I like, what's your purpose? I'm like, for me, it's podcasting. I do real estate for fun now. Like, podcasting is what I do. And it's a lot of, I didn't think I would say that a few years ago, but like, this is my main focus now. I think it's, it provides a greater purpose, and you don't know the impact you can make. And I think that the possibility of that, just that question, that's where I get the energy from to do it. And a lot of people like, how do you find the time? And like, you kind of make time for it. And I tell people a lot of time too, is like, I feel like, not that I'm Superman, but I feel like I run off the sun. Like I have like an internal energy source that feels untapped yet, maybe because I'm young. When I get older, I'll have a different storyline. But I think since I'm young, I feel like I have a lot of internal energy that I can devote to something like this right now. And I think if you don't point it somewhere, if it's like it's like unused energy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like you said, you got to find the time to put in, because it does take time. It takes a lot of work to put together a podcast and interview the guests and prepare all the materials and all that. But, you know, if you look at and you audit your day and what you're spending your time on, you know, is what you're doing, can you redirect some of that energy somewhere? So like when we first started our podcast, you know, my son was barely 2 years old. He was still like a little baby at that time. And so I was, you know, waking up early in the morning before he would get up and trying to catch people on the East Coast. So I was waking up at 4:30, doing interviews at 5. And then like, you know, on the Fridays that I have off, I would just schedule back-to-back interviews. And so instead of, you know, taking that time off and doing something else, I decided to redirect that energy and then focus it on the podcast instead. So you find the time if you really want to, you'll find time.
That is a great answer. I think a lot of people, like, they have no purpose in life per se, so they feel like they can't reach and attain their goals. But once you find that purpose, it's just, you don't necessarily need a motivation. Like 4:30, my first podcast that I did, it's a funny story. I actually woke up at 4:30. The sun had just come up, and my kids and my wife were asleep, so I literally recorded it outside in a hoodie because it was cold here in California. And I was outside, literally had an extension cord with a laptop, and it was very, very cold in the morning. There's dogs barking in the background, so every time I stop talking, I mute myself.
And the sun comes up as you're finishing your episode.
Yeah, yeah. For everybody listening to you, it is the episode I did with Abel Pacheco. Mm-hmm. I forget what his podcast called. But you can probably find the episode out there. So if you're like, yeah, I want to see that story, you can go find it.
You were a guest on Abel's podcast when you were interviewing that first one when you were on his?
Yes, yes.
Ah, okay. I got to check that out.
Yes, yes. So Abel Pacheco, he's out of San Antonio, which is where my partner's mm-hmm. from. So he actually knew Abel back in the cross paths in San Antonio.
So yes, I know Abel too.
Yeah, I like Abel. It's a small world out here. It's a small world out here, apparently.
Yes.
In the investor space, especially, I think multifamily space is very small. It's very tight knit. I don't know. It's just one of those spaces. So what is a quote that is yours or somebody else's that you resonate with?
Who, not why. It's also the name of a book. And so that's something that as we started this real estate journey that you know, that we keep hearing over and over again. It's, you know, if you're looking to build up, if you're looking to get somewhere, achieve some goals, instead of looking at the, or how, not why, or who, not how, sorry, who, not how. And so instead of focusing on the how of how to do things or how to get started, you know, it's really important to find the who's in your life to be able to help you get you there, because it's in this space, in any business that we're in, we're all in a people building relationship, and it's who can get you to that next space, who can help, you know, expedite your journey, or who can help you, you know, overcome certain challenges.
That is 100% the factor. And I think a lot of people underestimate that who, because they feel like they have to do everything themselves. Like, I have to learn how to do this and become the best at it. And I'm like, no, let that stuff go. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Too old to learn new things. but there's a lot of people that are, they love what they do and how they do it, and they're proficient at it way more than you can ever be proficient at it. So just hire them. Hire them, because there's going to be people out there that they're way better than you, and it's okay. Just let it go and do the best you can with the people you can, not you personally, but hire the people. It's a great quote. I have not read the book. I am not a reader myself, but the trick is, for everybody here that's not a reader, you join a book club and they break down the whole book for you, so you don't actually have to read it. There's a hack for everybody else.
Yeah. So
if you're like me, I say that every once in a while because it's funny, because I'm not a reader. Are you a reader at all?
I am. I do like reading. I like the hardcover books, you know, paper and holding it instead of like a Kindle or something. I just like the paperback books.
Okay. Yeah. One of my buddies wrote a book and he signed it for me. And I'm like, thank you. I'll put this on the bookshelf and never open it again. I don't know if it was insulted or not, but I'm not a reader. It's just not me. So talking about real estate, we talk about your podcast. What has been your best advice you got from a guest as a podcast host? Because we get a lot of good stuff. Like, first thing that pops in mind.
Yes. I think the first thing that pops in my mind is, you know, when you're looking to start something, if you're looking to get to a goal or achieve or start something up new, you know, we can all get into this analysis paralysis, but in order to make those moves, get you moving to where you want to be, where you see yourself, you have to take your knowledge and apply it and take action. So the applied knowledge part of it is really important. It's not just about studying and absorbing knowledge, and that's an important part of it, but it's really about applying the knowledge that you take and what do you do with it? Because you can get into this analysis paralysis where all you do is just consume, 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 but you never take that action, and you never see the results, because you never take those moves to get you to that next step.
Yeah, it's 100% true. You have to put in the work, and you'll learn more than you ever could from a book. It's weird as it sounds, but when you actually put in the work of calling and doing whatever action it is, whatever action it requires, once you put that in, that muscle building and that actual action of doing it, it actually builds the most training from A to Z.
Yep.
100%. Yeah. That action takers. One of the things I always did especially when I started doing this side of business, if you take massive action, you'll get to where you want to go quicker. And it actually massive action is required to get to where you want to go. So I feel like a lot of early investors, they feel like, one, they don't know enough. Once they know enough, they don't have they think they're doing enough action to produce results, but they're really not. So you always got to like 2 or 3x the action you think you need to do, and then you'll actually produce results, or you actually learn along the way of what actually it takes to get to where you want to go. And it's always more action than what you think it is.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is sometimes we get into like the society and the world that we're in now, it's a lot of it has to do with like instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And you see of instant and overnight success. And when you get into real estate and you get into, you know, setting out to achieve those goals that you've put out for yourself, it really takes consistent action over a long period of time. So if you're looking for short-term gains, it's so easy to fall off the horse and to give up. But if you look for it, you know, down the long run, look as a long-term goal or a long-term gain, then it helps you do those consistent actions and keep moving forward.
It takes years, years to succeed.
Yeah,
it takes years. It takes years in the podcast. It takes years in real estate. It takes years. I think that there's a quote that goes kind of like, don't measure your success by the years, measure by the decades. And it takes decades and years to produce the result in life you want. So if you're only in it for a year, 6 months, or 12 months, I tell people all the time, it's like, oh, I've been doing this for 3 months and I can't get my first contract. I'm like, it took me 7 months to get my first deal. Like when I was in it, I felt the pain and it hurt. 7 months.
Yeah. And it's so easy because you're not seeing that instant gratification. You're not getting that deal and you're like, oh, why am I still doing this? But you stayed consistent and persisted. And then, you know, 7 months later, you're ended up with the deal.
Yeah. It takes a lot more time and action than you want it to. if I made the world the way I wanted it to, you'd get instant results, but it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And this is from another book. It's called Think and Grow Rich. And so it's quite a famous one also, where they give an imagery of a person who is digging for gold, and he's digging and digging and digging, and he gives up. And then he didn't know and realize that just 3 inches away from where he stopped digging, there was a pile, a mound of gold. And so the next person that came in, you know, struck it rich really quickly. But it's like you're digging and digging and digging, but you never realized that, like, just that three more inches and you would have gotten there.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to find like the internal strength to like, hey, I'm literally right there. I just got to keep going. It's literally right there. You keep going. It's always like my wife is a pessimist and I'm the optimist in the relationship. So I'm always like, wife's like, are you sure? It's right there.
Got to have a little balance. One who's a reacher, but somebody who has to help ground you too.
100%, because the optimist can get lost in the clouds very easily when there's no string to pull them back down. it's definitely a balance. I think business relationships have to be balanced too. I think everything in life has to be balanced. So if you're naturally an optimist like me, finding a partner who's a little bit more grounded that can always bring you back to realization is always a plus and bonus. And if you have business relationships as well, you always got to find the opposite of you, because if you have similar abilities and similar thought processes, you're always going to butt heads because they're not exactly alike and they're always going to deflect. This has been a great episode. I hope you all learned a lot. Where can people find you online, Eileen? I'm going to put up your website here. Bonavest Capital. We never talked about Bonavest Capital. What's Bonavest Capital?
So we're a multifamily syndication company. We help other people learn about passive income and passive investing in multifamily syndications. And so we're just looking to share what we've known with other people and then share those opportunities with other people as well.
So definitely go check out that. And then we also have How They Did It Real Estate podcast. I was on the show. Eileen is a great host for everybody here listening. I know she's a guest today, but she is a great host.
Thank you.
Podcast. Any final thoughts or final plugs you want to plug in?
Yeah. So if anybody wants to connect on LinkedIn too, that's where I'm most active. It's just Eileen Prack. And yeah, so thank you so much for the opportunity for having me here today. And it was a blast talking with you, and thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you for your time. And thank you for the benefit and resources you provide to the world through your podcast and education and dedicating and finding the time to share that knowledge with the world. So I appreciate you. And for everybody listening too, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please go like, follow, subscribe, share with a friend, and make an impact in your world today. We'll see you on the next episode, guys. Thanks for listening.
Hey, guys. If you would like to receive hot leads right to your cell phone in a text message. Check out hiveleads.io, and you can receive the same leads we've been receiving in our campaign for 3.5 years that's made us successful in the land game. Check us out.